You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. You could turn in if you like, as long as you keep the audio nice and loud. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, just in time for Halloween, a real live exorcist joins us live. And the sexiest Halloween costumes for women and men. Let's meet the friends, the embodiment of talk show perfection. It's Erin Myers.
Yeah, ladies, do you think you have the perfect body? Well, Victoria's Secret might not think so. I'll tell you why.
Take his sports picks to the bank, people. Jay Campadonia is here.
It has come to my attention that I have a gift. I can predict the future. Details coming up.
And he's camped out on Gwyneth Paltrow's front porch, so Chris Martin will not be joining us today.
Oh.
Let's get started. It's... The day before Halloween.
Yes.
So just forgive us in advance if things get a little hinky.
Poor Chris. That breakup must be really
hitting him hard. Yeah, he's taking it hard.
Poor guy.
But I think he'll be okay. You think he misses us?
No.
So I'm watching TV, and I've learned how to get in. Guys, Jay, you probably know what this is. It's a little trick you do where you're watching TV really carefully, really intently. And then the Victoria's Secret commercial comes on, and you learn how to, like, your attention goes off to another part of the room, but you're still watching through your peripheral vision.
Absolutely.
Right? The one time you can multitask.
Yeah.
Then.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah. It's like a little skill that all guys have.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to look like you're just leaning forward and your elbows are on your knees. And
it's like when you're walking through a crowd of people.
Yeah.
During the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And there's always the hot chick with the bathing suit.
Yeah.
But you got to pay attention to wifey. So It's kind of, yeah, But you can still look out the corner of your eye.
You can look. Can you do like the split eye where one goes one direction,
split
the
eye.
Other? The other?
Yeah.
There you go.
Marty Feldman eyes.
Like, woo.
Yeah. All right. So I bring up Victoria's Secret just because it's steeped in our first story, Erin. Isn't that right?
It is. And, you know, Victoria's Secret is something that I think most women we've probably shopped there, but they do have this new advertising campaign that is stirring up a little controversy. Now, it does use the same models you're used to seeing, like Lily Aldridge and Behati Prinsloo. So we've seen their faces before. Behati Prinsloo, I believe.
Oh,
she's tall, beautiful, skinny. They all have, yes, as you would say, the perfect body.
How many guys have forgotten her name the next morning?
Oh, boy. She's married now to Adam Levine, I think, so this might not
really?
Be a good conversation for you boys to be having.
Nah,
yes.
I could take him.
But.
Pipsqueak.
Pipsqueak. Well, his wife is part of this ad, and she's beautiful. They all are. But the controversy is they have all these tall, beautiful women standing there, and then across it is written, the perfect body.
And?
So now women are going, well, you know, is that the perfect body then? Do we have to look like that? Is that what Victoria's Secret is saying?
That question is yes, but...
Exactly.
But, well, you know, you got to be realistic.
Well, is Michael Jordan the best basketball player ever?
People strive to be as good as Mike.
Yes.
Bingo. Same thing.
But
see, men have troubles too, right, Phil?
Yes.
See?
But people come in all shapes and sizes, and that's what women are saying right now. They've been going to onto social media saying, you know, with the hashtag, I am perfect. And they're not happy because people think that, you know, it's making you feel like you're not good the way you are.
You know, if you go back to olden times, we would be laughed at and mocked at as a society because we're so fat.
Yeah.
But you know, too, if you look at pictures and portraits way back when, women were always very voluptuous, and that was considered perfect then, and so now it's a different look.
Yeah, every couple hundred years, it changes.
It's cyclical.
Sure.
Well, the donuts get better.
When's the voluptuous going to come back in then?
Well, I think it already is if you look at all the ladies
that way.
Trying to get the Kardashian butt implant thing going on.
That is true.
Yeah. I don't know where the bubble butt thing is really in all of a sudden.
You can rest your coffee there.
Yeah, or your beer.
Your mug or beer, yeah.
I appreciate you bringing in the utilitarian aspect of this story. But see, the Victoria's Secret, aside from the fact that all of that sexy clothing that they prance around in, sure looks like, ladies, it probably chafes. But just the same, the young girls are impressionable, are they not, Erin?
They are, and there's another company that's kind of having the same issue right now. There's this up-and-coming clothing company that's geared towards teens and 20s. It's called Brandy Melville, And their thing is they do one size fits small, as people like to say.
Oh.
And same thing, models, they're all tall, skinny, blonde. And now with teens especially, they're going to want to be that way. And they worry, are girls going to starve themselves? Are they not going to eat? And one blogger, or actually a vlogger on YouTube, said she actually went into the store and they told her, the employee said, don't try on the clothes because they were afraid she was going to stretch them out. So that's kind of insulting.
But it's not insulting. They're putting out a product and they're marketing to a specific person. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, on the other program, we had Walmart saying, okay, here's the fat girl section.
Right.
Well, is there anything wrong with that?
Well, see, no. Yes, there is, because it's not what you say, Phil. It's how you say it.
How you say it.
So how would you say for this one, then, if it's
one size fits all.
One size fits all or
one
small?
One size fits.
Or?
We have one size.
So if you don't fit it, don't come in?
Exactly, because you might stretch out our clothes. And if you break it, you bought it, Toots. That's the way it is.
Or a big sign in the department store, bulimia section.
Oh, no.
Is that wrong?
Yes.
Probably.
We've gone
not
too far.
Not such a good thing.
What's the matter with you? You're supposed to be the sensible one here.
Well,
I know what's
no.
happening.
I'm being absurd to point out the absurdity of all of this.
Okay.
Ah.
See?
Smart
That's what
man.
Happens
yeah.
when you're as smart as I am. What?
No comment.
Okay. I do, with all the talk about the ladies walking around in underwear, try my best to act my age, but it's difficult sometimes. But that gets some people in trouble when they're young and they got mom or dad to please, right, Erin?
It does. There's a girl, little 10-year-old girl who's gotten busted by her dad. She's being punished because she apparently has social media sites. She got him while no one was paying attention, and she was posting that she was a teenager, anywhere from like 15 to 18 years old, and she has a boyfriend, and she was doing this all behind her parents' back. So now her dad has decided to prove that she is 10, even though she's 5'9", so you might not think she's a 10-year-old.
Right, right.
But he's made her wear a shirt that's pink, and on the front and on the back it says, fifth grader, and I am 10.
Oh, good for
him. And
then he put barrettes in her hair, so she has all these little pink clips, and he put the picture on Facebook. So
good.
People, is that okay, though? That's what the question is.
That
is okay
parental shaming. Absolutely.
Yes. So you can publicly shame your kid.
That's not too bad. That's alerting all the perverts out there. Hey, this is a 10-year-old girl.
Yes.
That is true.
She'll have a lifelong lesson.
Yeah.
She'll learn to respect her dad, and she didn't get any bruises off of it.
Well, or worse, you know, and that's the whole thing. It's like they don't know what they're doing. And to be honest with you, it's the parents' fault in the first place that she's got the social media sites and the boyfriend and all this stuff. Pay attention, folks. Your kids are out there, and it's readily available. They will go where they're not supposed to when you're not looking.
Yeah. What's the matter
they're
with you?
Smart. Yeah.
Yes. Going to fit you, dad, fit you with a T-shirt. Make you stand
I wouldn't want to be your kid.
No.
If you have kids one day, they're in for it.
They will be the most upstanding citizens like their dad was not.
That's the thing.
They'll learn from your experiences.
Exactly.
Don't even try doing the things I did when I was a kid.
My kids are going to be better than I am.
When
That's
I was your age, we did whatever my dad said.
That's funny.
In front of him. All right. So, yeah. Okay, Jay. You can... fine. I don't know how we're going to be able to live with you for the rest of this program.
I am a genius, Phil. I am touched. Well, I'm gifted, not touched.
Well,
that's two different things, right? Okay.
Yes, it is.
I am gifted. I predicted that the Giants would win the World Series in Game 7, and that's exactly what happened last night. They took the Royals in Kansas City 3-2. Great ending to the game. I don't know if you guys caught it.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Fantastic. Royals were down by one. They had two outs. They had a guy on third. And this pitcher, Madison Bumgarner for the Giants, pitched a fifth inning shutout as a reliever.
Yeah.
The guy's only on 2 days rest. He came in, pitched like 60 pitches, and beat the Royals. It was a great game, great ninth inning as far as I'm concerned.
Would you have had him try to go for the infield home run?
Why not?
That's what I was thinking, too. I figured they should have just gone for it.
Why not? But, well, you know, if you're going to pop it inside the bases, kind of like where the last out was made, it's pretty much guaranteed. But there was a play before that for the Royals to get onto third base. He knocks a dinger into center field. And it's pretty good. It's a pretty good shot, but it's easily playable. And the center fielder's running up going, I'm going to make the last out of the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And he muffs the catch. Oh.
Yeah, that was
catch. The ball goes right past his glove. It goes to the warning track. That's what put the tying run on third.
Well, I thought they should have just sent him in, actually. That's what I was talking about. After they had all those fumbles, I thought they should have just
keep going.
Yeah, just run for it.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That would have been a triple and taking home on an E8.
Yeah, there
as opposed
go.
To an in
that would have
yeah,
been
okay, that was that my mistake on that one. But.
Yeah,
that's
what's
okay.
the matter with you? Well, that's all right.
I like baseball. I don't know all the wording, probably.
You know nothing because you predicted the Royals in five.
Yeah.
Oh, just like somebody else in the room.
Well,
they were on a roll for a while.
I don't know who that was. All right. Whatever it is, what the heck is the matter with a certain percentage of fans?
They celebrate like idiots, Phil. And it is because it's the Game 7 of the World Series, so I'm going to take off work, man. I'm going to get jacked up. So they go to the bar.
Yeah.
They've been at the bar since noon.
Yeah.
Game doesn't start till 5. They've been drinking 5 hours before the game.
Yeah.
Then the game starts going. They keep continuing to drink. And this is what happened in San Francisco last night. Two men were shot.
Oh.
One guy got stabbed. Several officers were pelted with bottles and cans and everything else. They lit a couch in the middle of the street. They went nuts last night. Now, the Giants have won their third World Series in the past 5 years, so I get it. The kids are excited.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to celebrate like a jackass like that, it's uncalled for.
You know, when things happen in Los Angeles, like when the Lakers win or you know, the riots start, we always joke about it. Somebody bust in a bunch of Raiders fans.
Right.
But in San Francisco, the Raiders fans are just down the freeway.
Exactly. Exactly. Maybe.
Is that who this is?
Maybe.
Just any excuse to create mayhem.
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stupid Raiders fans. You know, I swear.
I don't think we have any Raiders fans in our audience. That's why it's safe. Wait.
I know.
Wait
safe
a minute.
To throw them under the bus.
We do? We do have some Raiders. Uh-oh.
Wonderful. Well, I'm getting shanked. Thanks.
Go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a new survey that found the sexiest Halloween costumes for men and women. And yes, even you, bulimic skinny person, can fit into these perfectly. And that's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron and Jay are here. Chris has the day off. It's the day before Halloween. And it's all about the sexy costumes these days, right? Especially when Halloween is on a Friday. Come on. It's adult party time.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to just slut it up.
There's going to be some scandalous people out there.
Ho train.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was watching some TV show. I don't know what it was. I just, you know, coming in and out of the room because I never really sit down long enough to get married to any particular program. But the gals are talking, you know. They're young 20-something gals. And the one blonde girl, good-looking, she says, you know, last year I was a sexy fire girl, you know. The year before that, I was a sexy vampire. This year, I'm just going to cut out She said, last year I was a slutty fireman. The year before that, a slutty vampire. This year, I'm just going to cut out the middleman and just be a slut.
No. Nice. Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. So which costumes are the sexiest this year? And by the way, DJ and talk show host did not crack the list.
Damn.
The new survey asked men to name the sexiest costumes for women and women to name the sexiest costumes for men. So this is the way to do it,
okay.
Right? So because we have very little self-awareness.
Take notes.
Self-awareness.
I am. I'm paying attention.
Now, women think the sexiest costumes for men are fireman, policeman, superhero, Astronaut.
Well, it depends on, I mean, if they've got one of those body suits on, no.
No, because then wearing tights.
Is that sexy?
No, men in tights as superheroes.
No.
Not so cute.
Well, not all the not superhero all. Outfits are tights outfits,
no,
are
but
they?
Like Superman is kind of
yeah, but
tight
he's got his underwear on the outside. That,
yeah, that's sexy. Yum.
Underoos on the outside? All right.
Yes.
How about this one? Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey.
Interesting.
Cowboy. Spy. Ooh, the spy who loved me.
Yeah.
And fighter pilot.
Ooh, like Top Gun.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Exactly.
Oh, I like
God.
That one.
Yeah. All right, there. Calm down, Goose.
No. Yeah. I'm bringing her
Val,
in hot.
Val
yeah.
Kilmer was cute in that one, so.
Iceman?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I had a crush on him back in the day, like that time period, and then when he was Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp.
Oh, yeah. I'll be
Tombstone.
A Tombstone.
Tombstone, yes. Yeah.
Great
Tombstone.
Movie.
I loved
one of the,
him
One
in
of
that.
The best westerns ever
yes,
and
Tombstone.
About as realistic as gunfighting will get because they showed the human side. Just my opinion, doing a movie review for you.
I like
they
it.
They showed yeah. the human side and people actually, you know, were distraught when folks died, which you don't typically see in westerns.
Well,
just
yeah.
people, bang, dead, you know. And then yeah, and somebody
whistles. It's always sad when the
somebody
good guy
whistles.
Goes down. Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Or the cute one. So
the cute one, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, now guys think the sexiest costumes for women are Catwoman. Now, it doesn't say crazy Catwoman. It just says Catwoman, Aaron.
What?
Cheerleader. Yeah, that never gets old, does it?
No.
Yeah.
Depends on the cheerleader, but yes.
Superhero, and the tights work for me.
Yeah.
Well, girls in tights are okay.
And the right. high boots.
Yeah. yeah, all right. Sexy librarian.
Oh, that's always good. I like
when,
that one.
Have you guys ever seen a sexy librarian in
no.
real life, though?
No.
Okay, I'm
it's
just
a
asking.
Fantasy.
I'm just wondering.
It's
no,
just a fantasy.
Okay.
But I had a geometry teacher in high school.
Sexy Eesh. Geometry teacher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but here's the thing. When you're in the sixth grade, it's a real big deal to go up to the librarian and ask where the sex ed books are.
Right. Yes,
isn't
I
it?
Remember that.
Man,
that's so great.
Boys and girls are so different growing
that and
up.
That and the National Geographics at that point.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
That's where you saw your naked women.
That's right, exactly.
Got to see me some indigenous, you know, nudity. All right. And this, for whatever reason, and we apologize for being men, but this never gets old, the naughty schoolgirl.
Yeah, totally.
The Britney Spears look right there.
Yeah, the,
okay.
yes.
the plaid miniskirt.
Tartan skirt, yeah.
Yeah,
and the white,
thigh-high stockings.
The man shirt, the white shirt.
Exact.
Right?
Tied at the bottom.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hiked up too high.
Yes.
Right?
Awesome.
Because they all have those expando waists, and all the, right. the naughty Catholic girls, they pull those up a little higher,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they flip them over and roll them up, I think.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then the nun hits them with a ruler.
Which is even hotter.
Yes.
Keep talking.
Sexy
all right.
nun.
Now, check out some other results from the survey. More women feel comfortable dressing in skimpy Halloween outfits than ever. Half of men and women feel less guilty cheating on Halloween than any other day of the year.
Oh, God.
And supposedly more than a third of married people make an excuse not to be out with their spouse on Halloween so that they have the freedom to cheat.
So that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, Halloween equals the smell of sex these days, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It needs to get back to the kids.
Yeah. What a trick-or-treating
yes,
and stuff.
Candy.
Yeah. Leave
Spooky,
the
scary.
Kids alone.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're thinking about dressing up as Ray Rice for Halloween because you think it's funny,
yeah.
get some class,
yeah.
jackass.
Switch costumes.
Seriously. That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So, gosh. Let's move along. Let's get off of this. And talk about things that annoy us. In fact, if you want to get annoyed in a hurry, you need only look at your Facebook wall and see what your friends are posting. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Most of the time, yeah. I guess there's this new article saying the 10 most annoying Facebook users, and they have actually named them and what they do. And one is the fabulous lifer. That's somebody who posts things of how cool their life is and, you know, pictures of them in gowns and fast cars, and they're
oh,
just
boy.
Kind of bragging.
There's another name for that. It's called douchebaggery.
Okay. This was
yes.
the polite way to say it. The fabulous lifer. The vague booker, which is somebody who comments or makes like, oh, I'm so devastated. And then they don't say why. yeah.
Funny.
People go, what's wrong? Are you okay? And then they don't respond. And
yeah,
you're like, all right.
Not.
And so it's I think that's for attention. The person who likes everything. The ranter who goes off on Ebola and Obama, the tagger, the Uber tagger, so tagging everything, the Debbie Downer, like, You want people to feel for you as well.
Yeah.
Puts their breakups, those things on there.
Yes, please.
Then there's called the Aaron, the pet lover. They post animal pictures nonstop. That would be me.
Do you post animal pictures
That's
nonstop?
That's pretty much the only thing I post on Facebook nowadays are pictures of my cats and dogs. Yes.
Oh,
yes. There are a few old ones of my friends and I, but those are like 4 years old. Now it's just cats and dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a hobby.
I have one. Oh. Cats and dogs. Oh. The silent stalker, somebody who just watches but doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's interesting.
The big gamer, the person who's always saying, hey, play this game with me because they get extra points.
That's annoying.
And then the virtual lovers who post pictures of themselves on vacations and they say things like they're so happy and et cetera. And,
yeah, puke.
Yeah. Don't become that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not. You know what? She hates social media. The GF hates it. Although, she loves to stalk on mine.
Oh, that's different.
You just sit in a corner and eat a delicious, wonderful dessert.
Have you heard of this new dessert that's out now?
What's this?
It is unbelievably beautiful. Loaded maple and bacon donut fries.
Oh!
Yummy.
Can you believe that? French fries with maple syrup, chocolate syrup, bacon. Oh.
Did you get, is there a picture of it?
Yes, there is.
Did you tell the web munchkins?
You know, I sent it to him. I don't know if it's up yet. Have
Can we
check real quick?
Oh,
is it sliced donuts? They sliced the donut up?
No, they're French fries.
Go to the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com.
If you want a heart attack, do it.
Wow.
Hey, awesome. Up next, whether you are religious or not, I bet you've wondered this before. When you die, is that it? Or is there another side? How much of our lives on Earth, our memories, our knowledge, and above all, our relationships with friends and family stay with us after death? Perfect Halloween stuff for you. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Happy almost Halloween here from the folks at Phil Hewlett and Friends. The friends at Phil Hewlett and folks. Should we change the name?
No.
Okay, thank you. I do run this past everybody, you know, when I come up with ideas, and they shoot almost everything down.
You get naysayed.
Man, that dessert you were talking about, Jay?
Yes, sir.
I haven't stopped looking at it. The loaded maple bacon donut fries.
It's unbelievable.
On the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. All right, now for Halloween, just in time for Halloween, we're talking about when somebody dies and they see that white light and they think they go to heaven and somehow, miraculously, they wake up again and they talk about what it was like to be dead and all the things that they saw. So, Yetta Halberstam is the author of the best-selling Small Miracles series of books. Her latest installment is Small Miracles from Beyond. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com right now. Go check it out. And she joins us live right now. Yetta, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Even better now that you're here. This is the eighth book in the series, and in it, there are dozens of stories from people who, when you read these stories, you can easily conclude there is life after death, and they've seen it. Is that the essential gist here?
Yes, absolutely. Our previous books looked at coincidences through a spiritual prism, but were basically revolving around life situations, life experiences. But the stories in Small Miracles from Beyond revolve around ADCs, after-death communications, reincarnation, apparitions, coincidences that seem to be guided by a supernatural hand, the power of prayer, all kinds of different testimonials to the fact that after physical life is over, some spiritual existence, some consciousness still remains.
The whole deal here is when you get these near-death experiences, people, they believe they are briefly dead, or maybe they are clinically dead, the doctors think they are, but then they come back. But when they're out, when they're gone, they see things. They see people, loved ones who passed before them. Do you have an example or two you can give us?
Yes, I do want to say that most of the stories in this book are not really about near-death experiences, but they are about communication from deceased relatives.
Oh, okay. So how does that work then? You're just having a dinner and you turn out the lights and the table moves?
Is there a Ouija board somewhere on the table?
Actually, a lot of the deceased relatives come to their loved ones via dreams or signs. And in the dreams, they will give them guidance, information, warnings, and very often the warnings that they've given them turn out to be true. Like one woman came to her three daughters. One deceased mother came to her three daughters who lived in three different cities and said, Claire is going to have a fire in her house. Warn her. And apparently she came to them at the exact same time. And Claire, who didn't believe in this at all, saw it all as heebie-jeebie stuff, was convinced by her sisters to leave her house the night that the mother warned her to leave. And sure enough, a fire erupted in her home. So we've had many, many people tell us stories about their relatives who have come to them with precise instructions or warnings, and when they've heeded them, they've been very, very happy.
But was the story, like, founded by police? Was there firefighters involved? Or is this just somebody, like, I could call you up and be like, I had this amazing dream. My great-grandfather from Texas came back and told me that Dallas Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl, so I better bet. And turns out they win. I mean, there's at least proof that the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. There's really no proof of this story, right?
That's a good question, Jay. What do you say, Ida?
Well, listen, the people who have told us the stories are very credible, reputable people. Some of them are celebrities. We have an amazing story by Dr. Wayne Dyer, which is just totally mind-blowing, and we felt very privileged that he allowed us to include his story. And these are people who in the past perhaps would have been shy about sharing their stories, but since there seem to be so many books on the bestseller charts right now that are lifting the veil behind this world and a more spiritual world, people are getting more emboldened to share their stories with other people, with the public.
Are there some scientific explanations for this sort of thing? At least if skeptics talk to you, Ita, and they say, well, you know what, the brain can go into several layers or several different types of consciousness. And very much like when we dream, we get this whole, what seems like a half an hour, an hour's worth of a storyline, but in reality it was just a brief moment of time. Because the brain is I can't even understand how the brain works, but it goes into these, I guess, super modes of awareness, and we see things as they're happening, and sometimes we don't realize they're happening as they're happening, but the brain lays it all out for us, and sometimes we think something happened before it happened, or we knew it was going to happen before it happened. Is there any kind of scientific thing that you looked at that you say, okay, fine, maybe all of this is just science?
It's an excellent question, and, you know, there are many scientific theories that try to interpret and explain why so many people have had near-death experiences that seem to follow the exact same pattern, hovering over the body and then being whisked into a tunnel of light. One of them talks about deprivation of oxygen, which can then cause hallucinations. But at this point, there have been several scientific researchers who have documented 20, 30, 40,000 cases, which basically replicate one another. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was in the forefront of this, followed by another eminent psychiatrist named Dr. Ian Stevenson, who documented 30,000 cases of not near-death experience, but of children talking about past lives experiences, which also figures in the book. The book is not only about dreams, but also we have stories about reincarnation, apparitions, the power of prayer, mysterious phone calls and text messages that seem to come straight from heaven.
We don't know anything about anything, do we? when you read books like this, you think, okay, my whole understanding of how things work, it may be wrong. There's this alternate way of thinking. Did you or your co-author have an experience like this yourself that was worthy of putting in the book? Or
as a matter of fact, we did. But I just wanted to address what you just said a minute ago. What I find very, very ironic and fascinating is that today we are living in a society, a culture, which is so high-tech that we have absolutely no problem accepting and conceiving of the fact that digital information can be passed through GPSs, computers, smartphones, faxes, et cetera, even though we don't understand it, we don't see how it's happening, but we accept it. And yet, there are so many people who have much greater difficulty accepting the fact that psychic or telepathic or spiritual information can pass through people. So we can more readily accept the idea of a video chat between someone in Japan and America than a telepathic communication between two people in two different states.
Yeah, and I think I know why that is. It's because we get the heebie-jeebies about all that other stuff, right?
Exactly.
Well, Phil, you can see a video chat call. Not everybody sees ghosts. Just saying.
No. We're not talking about ghosts. This is not a collection of ghost stories.
Oh, no, it isn't. No. All right. See, this is different, Jay.
I don't know.
Definitely different. So what did you see, Yita? What was your story?
Well, I actually had many stories, but I guess I really have to tell you the shortest one because I know we're...
Yeah, we're running short.
Okay. My mother was a believer. She was very into New Age stuff and spiritual stuff. So when she passed away 10 years ago, my brother, sister, and I were positive that if anybody could wend their way from the afterworld to bring a message to us, it would be my mother. And we kept on calling each other up and kind of humorously saying, so have you heard from Mommy yet? And no, we didn't. And we were very disappointed. Well, one day about 2 years ago, I just kind of humorously spoke out loud and said, come on, Mom, I'm waiting for a message already. When are you going to send me one? You know, it's kind of a joke. That night, at about midnight, the witching hour, the phone rang. And I picked it up. And I just heard this strange crackling static, and I kept on shouting, hello, hello, and nobody answered. I hung up, and I thought either it was a wrong number or a call from abroad or an emergency. Someone will call back soon, but nobody did. So I took a look at the caller ID, and I nearly freaked out because the caller ID read 000-000-000. And I said to my husband, this is strange. So he rolled his eyes and he said, oh, come on, what do you think? What service do you think they use in heaven? Vonage, Verizon, Sprint? And, you know, he totally dismissed what I was hoping, that it's some kind of communication from my mother. So he convinced me that I'm a nut job and, you know, I just dispensed with the whole thing. But a few months ago, when I was researching stories for small miracles from beyond, I found a website that contained people's true stories. And on it, I found a story that was basically an echo of my own, in which this woman wrote that she asked her mother for a sign. And one night she got a call and she heard static crackling. And when she looked at the caller ID, it said 000-000-000. So that gave me, you know, goosebumps. And I thought, well, you know, I could really call the telephone company and be passed around from one person to another asking what that caller ID means because no one I know ever saw that caller ID. But you know what? I'm just going to believe that even though my communication with my mother during our lifetimes wasn't that great, after death, it's terrific.
How about that? That's the best way to look at it right there. The book is called Small Miracles, and there's one for you. From Beyond, Dreams, Visions, and Signs That Link Us to the Other Side. Yita Halberstam wrote this book with Judith Leventhal. Thank you very much, Yita.
Thank you. It's been fun talking with you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
All right, there we go. And in the continuing with the Halloweenish kind of stuff, it might be fun to pretend you are possessed by the devil for Halloween. Don't you think? But what if you or people around you believe that you are, in fact, possessed by Satan? Do you need an exorcist? Is exorcism even real? You'll meet somebody who calls himself an exorcist next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit SpiritMarine.com.
Here we go, and thanks for tuning in to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We are going to talk about a topic that is apropos for the time of the year, the season, the Halloween season. The whole concept of being possessed or being pretending to be possessed by some kind of demonic force has been the topic of several movies over the years. It scares the bejeebers out of us, right?
What's a bejeeber?
I don't know. Let's search the history of that word. I'm Phil. Aaron and Jay are here. Chris has the day off. And the Reverend Bob Larson joins us live now. And for him, this whole exorcism thing is the real deal. In fact, his website is therealexorcist.com. And we have a link to it on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. You've been a televangelist over the years, and now this has become your focus. I've seen you on TV in a couple of places. For starters here, Reverend Larson, would you please describe for us what it means to be possessed?
Well, to be possessed means simply to, in some area, psychoneurologically, to be taken over, mind, feeling, emotions, to the extent that an evil spirit internally dwells and can express itself through the behavior, the emotions, and the actions of an individual. But that's on a gradient scale, and it could be from very severe to mild.
So what are some of the telltale symptoms of demonic possession?
Well, it's not the way Hollywood describes it, but the people who often come to me for an exorcism, whether in one of our seminars or in a private session, talk about being tormented. The torment may be physical, scratches, bites, even blood. It could be environmental. Hauntings, seeing things, apparitions and appearances, or it can be just mental, where they feel like they want to kill themselves. And the individuals have been to psychologists, counselors, social workers, pastors, and so on. They've worked with people and not had any remission of the problems, the symptoms.
So at what point do you arrive at the conclusion that an exorcism is the right prescription?
Well, it depends. If it's in a public setting, at a seminar, very often that's just kind of by the seat of the pants. When somebody has a violent demonic manifestation, you have to deal with it. But in a private setting, I take a very detailed inquiry. I have a 12-page profile they have to fill out, and may question them for a half an hour to an hour. But eventually, if all the signs lead that way, then we make contact with the spirit.
All right, so we're gonna get deeper into that in a moment. But what does it take to be a bona fide exorcist?
A lot of experience. There's really nowhere to learn. We now have an online school of exorcism where we actually train people, and it's the first time that's really ever been done in any kind of mass scale.
My man here in the studio, Jay, he's actually considered being an exorcist, so he's paying careful attention here. But again, before Jay, just a second. I know you want to talk to the Reverend here about this, but I want to get a little deeper into this. Now, you include your family in this. You have the school, but you have three daughters. Tell me about Bryn, Savannah, and Tess. Are they involved in these exorcisms as well?
Well, Tess and Savannah are sisters, and they are my daughter's best friends. I do have three daughters, but the main daughter is Bryn. She's the lead, and yes, she's been doing this 5 years, and as you probably know, has done it overseas, has done it in major media, and I taught her and the other girls how to do this. So it can be learned.
All right, so what do you say to people who just say, this is a sideshow, it's a way to get people to donate their hard-earned money to you and your ministry?
That's pretty easy to counteract, just to come to one of our seminars and watch it. And, you know, the media, I mean, we're talking about major media from ABC to CNN and so on, have followed up personally with individuals that we've dealt with and done backstory and discovered that these are not kooky people. These are truly tormented individuals, and we invite the closest scrutiny the media wants to take of what we do anytime, anywhere.
All right, and this is where Jay comes in, because I think he has a couple of questions under the heading of scrutiny.
Now, Reverend Larson, from one reverend to another, because I am an ordained minister on an online church, so I get the validity of that. Not really, but anyways, how can you say that you help these people? I mean, you must be cheaper than a mental hospital, right? Because that's probably where these people should go, but you're walking in and you're taking these people's money. You're taking them for a ride, right? You're like a modern-day snake oil salesman, if you will.
You obviously don't know anything about what I do and have not done your ask.
Well, no, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because, like I said, I'm a reverend, and I paid $10, and now I'm a reverend, and now I can do ceremonies. If I pay you more money, if I give you my money, now I'm certified to go help people that probably are nuts?
No, and you know that's not what it involves.
But that's exactly what it involves.
I've written 34 books.
Well, that's great. Listen, I'm all for capitalism.
Sure.
I think what you do is great for making money.
You want to let me talk, that's fine.
All right, Jay, give him a chance to reply. Reverend,
all right.
You have the stand, please.
I've written 34 books. I've written some large volumes in world religions, apologetics, and theology, which are used in seminaries and universities. So I'm not somebody who just came up with a cheap gimmick to try and make a buck. And you know that if you do your proper research. Now,
well, look, just because you wrote a book, I mean, look, I'm not saying that you're not an expert in your field, but you're taking people for a ride.
Well, you obviously don't know what you're talking about, and I invite you to attend one of my
Well, that's one heck of an argument. You know what I mean? Hey, you know what, sir, Reverend? I am a Super Bowl champion. I am a Super Bowl. Now, tell me I'm wrong, and I'm going to tell you don't know what you're talking about. Anybody can throw that argument out at anything. And it's a pretty big defense mechanism when you're just a snake oil salesman and stealing people's money. What are you doing?
A moment ago, I've sat down with hardcore journalists from CNN, from major television networks, NBC, ABC, and they've spent time with me. Some of them have done in-depth reports. They've watched and observed. They talked to the people that we deal with. And we've had psychologists and psychiatrists involved. So, you know, you're just taking a cheap shot without really knowing what you're talking about.
Well, wow. I think people can do the research as well. Reverend Barb Larson, again, did I get the website right? It's therealexorcist.com. Is that correct?
Or boblarson.org.
BobLarson.org is a good place to go. We'll link to that as well. It's fascinating stuff to me, and of course, you're always going to have your critics. I think that comes with the business. It comes with the territory.
Oh, sure.
But
sure.
We'll take a look at your websites and decide for ourselves. And thank you for joining us, spending some time talking about exorcism, Reverend Bob Larson.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome, sir. And there you go. Perfect stuff for Halloween. Jay, what's the matter with you?
What? Guys, come on, I can have my opinion, but
the guy's trying to help people.
And his argument is you don't know what you're talking about. Get out.
Well, as if we didn't know that already.
That's true. That is true.
Hey, that's it for hour one of the show. You think we can have even more? Let's just piss off Jay for the rest of the show.
Okay.
That's usually entertaining.
After all, he's a reverend of some kind of church.
That's right.
Hey, up next in the next hour, the crazy habits of cat owners, a 10-minute Ebola test, and our tech guy joins us live here on Phil Hewlett and Friends next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, a 10-minute test that will tell you if you have Ebola. Plus, don't even think about wearing your fancy Dick Tracy watch in a movie theater. Our tech guy will explain why. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, and oh, wait a minute, no Chris Martin for another day. It's very sad what's happened.
Yes, it is.
I don't think Gwyneth is going to take him back. I think Jennifer is done with it.
He's going to be alone forever.
Isn't Jennifer Lawrence having his baby, or was that just one of the magazines taking something out of context?
Yeah, that I think was rumor mill.
Yeah, she's too busy taking nude selfies.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you think Chris has some of those?
You know what? I will commandeer that phone to find out.
Yes, why
when
not?
He gets back.
When he returns. Just not on this program. All right, we want to get things rolling once again. This hour, we have so much to cover. And let's see, where are we? Yes. What a stay in a castle on your vacation, Aaron. How about a special castle, a magical one? Do you have any ideas for us?
I do, actually. I just saw this. There is a hotel in London called the Georgian House that is now catering to Harry Potter fans. So they've dedicated two rooms or wizard chambers, and they're bringing Hogwarts to life. And they're using the Gryffindor colors, which was Harry Potter's house. And they have stone walls and burning stoves and arches and cauldrons and all that kind of stuff.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah, Harry Potter crazy fans can go stay in a room that kind of looks like they're living in the Hogwarts castle. And it's about $338 for two people to
can
stay there.
Can you imagine that? That's like Nerdburger Central.
Sure, because it's going to be dank and it's going to be damp.
Right.
And dark and stony.
They should have like a spell teaching class or something too for that. That would be awesome.
So you maybe we hire that exorcist jackass we just had on.
Wait a minute. Jay, easy.
I'm just throwing ideas. I'm riffing, man. I'm brainstorming. That's what I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Gonna cast a spell on
Jay. Guy's trying to help people.
Yeah. Lighten their wallet is what he's trying to do. That's kind of cool, though. I've never seen the Harry Potter movie, so I don't know what it looks like. But it's staying in a castle.
You haven't seen a Harry Potter movie?
No.
Really?
Wow. I'm not 13.
Yeah,
you don't have to be 13 to enjoy those.
Says the woman who's probably read the books and watched the movies, correct?
No comment.
I
have nephews.
Well, look, here's
they're little.
Okay, all right, that makes
sense.
And
here's the thing. I've raised three daughters.
Right.
Yeah,
and over the course of time, we've seen all the Harry Potter movies.
Sure.
And have you been to the Lord of the Rings movies?
No.
No?
What
I don't like all that sci-fi weird stuff. Give me some, you know.
How about the Narnia movies?
No.
No?
I can't see, those ones for you.
No.
There's a talking lion.
So Die Hard. Guys kicking ass.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of movies that I like. And
you liked Bridesmaids, didn't you?
What?
What?
What he said was movies about talking dogs.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. Or how about videos of cute little cats, kittens, Aaron?
Aww. You said I had to bring in cute cat animal videos or stories, so
yes.
I did just that. It started out not so good, though. Let me tell you. We have this on our website. It's a video that was posted. It shows two kittens playing near a pond that's filled with fish.
How cute.
And it is very cute because the cats are batting at the water when all of a sudden a giant fish jumps up and grabs one of the kittens and takes it down into the pond.
No. Awesome. Yes. Like trying to eat him?
No, he just kind of knocks him off and the cat just disappears. And you're like, oh.
I'm watching it. Oh, it's on the show fun page. Thank you, Web Munchkins.
Well,
that's
people
fantastic.
Got so upset because the video ends with a woman screaming because sees the cat go into the water.
This is like a koi pond because one of those giant orange koi just swims by and the little kitten, he's like,
hello, fishy.
And that's fantastic.
And then this one kitten tries to hump the other one. And then the fish comes up and takes the one on the bottom. In slow motion. That's awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, the good thing is the cat is okay, and it still has 8 lives left. It survived the horrible encounter with the mega fish.
My goodness, that cat's going to need an exorcist.
Hey, it's a mega fish compared to a kitten.
Yeah.
Right.
But, right. So, while we're talking about cat people, because you're a cat person, right?
Maybe.
Do you have any strange habits?
that we should know about?
Well, yeah. There's actually a list of 18 weird and strange habits that cat owners are guilty.
18 of them?
There are 18. I won't read them all. But there are a few that I would say I do, too. You call your cat your child. That's number one.
Oh, boy.
You talk to them. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait. Talking to them or like... Are you hungry? Are you? Do you gotta go potty? Like, that's one thing. But I mean, like, sitting there, like,
oh no, I'll have conversations with my cats. I do talk to them. And my dogs, I actually walk my dogs and I'll put earphones on just so I look like I'm talking on the phone and I'm actually talking to them.
Here's how the conversation goes.
What is the deal with men?
Right, right.
Sick 'em. That's what I tell them.
Isn't that that's how the conversation starts every time, right?
Yeah.
Right, Aaron?
Probably.
Okay. All right. What else? Got a bunch.
I like this one. You buy them birthday and Christmas presents, which you do. You get them stockings. I moved to a new place, and I got them housewarming gifts, and they were so excited.
They were
very happy.
Did they rip them apart?
They kind of did. The feathers are already off one of the toys, and they're clawing at their little kitty condo, so they were quite content.
I haven't even
bought groceries for myself, but I've bought them presents. Oh. Yes.
This is bad behavior.
I know.
All right. A couple more. What else?
People who are not cat people, you have debates and conversations, and you try to convince them why they are wrong. And let's see, when they are sitting on your lap or sleeping with you, you don't move because you do not want to disrupt them or...
Yeah,
and I do that too. So
right,
just crazy cat people.
Okay.
Other cat people, they understand these things.
You know, they're pets, right? Like you're their owner.
I tell them I'm their mom.
At what point do you go from crazy cat lady to a hoarder? Jay, you've seen those videos of the hoarders, right?
Yes, and it's disgusting. How many cats makes you a crazy cat lady? That's a good question.
I'm not there yet.
What are you at?
Six. Right now, I have.
You've passed the bar. A woman in New York, upstate New York, was a hoarder. And can you imagine the smell in this house? I can't imagine with six cats there, Aaron. I'm sure your place smells great. But
wow,
this woman had 150 cats inside her home. 150.
That's a lot. If you can't remember all their names, you should not have that many.
Some of them alive, some of them not.
Cat pancakes,
and they said they found mounds of waste.
Cat feces.
All over the place.
Kitty
poop. Can you believe that?
I will not be that person, ever.
150.
Never.
Repeat it.
Never, ever, I will be that person.
Do we need a chalkboard?
I should be clicking my heels like Dorothy right now, too, with the ruby slippers. I will not be that person. I will not be that person.
Evidently, the woman who had 150 cats, this is not the first time that she's been in trouble. Her and her sister, over the past few years, they've had a total of 450 cats taken from them.
Oh, wow. No.
See, so no one's taken mine yet.
Wow.
I'm a good cat mom.
Keep going.
Good cat mom. Even my mom says, Aaron, you're a good cat mom. So I've got my family in on it.
No, you're a good cat owner.
No, mom. I told my cats that my mom is their grandmama.
Oh, God.
And they're her grandkitties.
All right. I'm not going to lie. The 5-pound chihuahua at the GF's place, I say, okay, when we're going over to the future in-laws place, okay, you ready to go to grandma and grandpa's?
See?
And I want to punch myself in the nuts.
But you still say it.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It started. You're already turning into one.
Yeah. You know what? And while we're on the topic of videos, Jay, you brought one to my attention before we started the show. Just going to take you back on your list a little bit, one or two notches here.
Yeah.
Well, because at some point, you're going to marry the GF.
I am.
And there's going to be a wedding.
Aww. There is.
And somebody's going to catch something wonderful on video. And we're going to watch it over and over and over again.
Yes.
And you found something?
A guy in Arizona, they get married earlier this month, right? And it's a beautiful, joyous occasion. And he's going to, you know, they're pulling up to the reception place or whatever. And there's this long walkway. And he thinks, I'm so excited. My wife is in her wedding dress. She's so beautiful. And I'm going to carry my wife from the sidewalk down this long walkway into the reception hall. Well, about halfway through, he trips, falls, and lands on top of her.
Oh, yes.
And there is, you know, these days everybody's got a camera in their pocket.
Sure they do.
Everybody does. So there's video of the guy running, and she's all excited, and she raises her hand, she's got the bouquet, and then, boom.
Oh, it's an 18-second video. And it's
she
on...
hits hard.
Oh, yeah. Man. They don't show her face.
It did
but
not look fun.
I'm thinking disfigurement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great way to start their marriage.
Yeah, it's like, you know what we just did a couple hours ago? I'm rethinking that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There you go.
Well, luckily, she's all right.
Hey, you know, everybody is concerned about Ebola these days, right? And why not? It's highly contagious. But how do you know if you have it? Check your temperature. Like, that's the definitive way, right? Well, what if I told you there was a test that in 10 minutes could tell you if you have Ebola? You'll hear about this groundbreaking test next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for that. Imagine you're flying on a plane, an international flight, and there are people sneezing and coughing, and you know how you are. We don't want our police to profile people, do we? But you do that every day, don't you? You see the guy, he looks like he's from Africa. Oh, he just hawked up a major phlegm ball. So now you're thinking, great, he probably has Ebola, and now everybody on the plane is infected. That's how we think. Kind of irrational, but it's how we are, isn't it? So now we're about to get some peace of mind on this topic of Ebola for once and for all. Dr. Kerry Gunn is the CEO of Genolite. I think I'm saying that right. He joins us live now. Dr. Gunn, thank you. Is it pronounced Genolite? Is that how you say that?
That's right. You nailed it.
Oh, very good. Bring us up to speed on your understanding of just how big of a deal Ebola is at this stage of the game.
Well, it's a big deal. You know, the media in the United States is making a big deal about infections that are happening on our soil, but I think you have to remember that what's going on in West Africa is absolutely a complete disaster and of a scale that we have yet to conceive of.
Yeah, and here we're I think we see people in the news that are flighty about this. And Jay, just up to speed on the story of the lady in Maine.
The nurse that was supposed to be in quarantine, she's basically given the finger to everybody. She went for a bike ride today.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that lady out there?
Well, a note to self is never try to quarantine a nurse from Maine.
Yeah, right?
Good note to self. And President Obama has ordered stepped-up screenings at some airports, including taking people's temperatures. I mean, is that a great way to sniff out this virus?
Well, temperatures are very inaccurate, and you've seen reports from people coming through airport screening with temperatures at 91 degrees all the way. You know, where you'd be dead if you were actually had that temperature. But the screening device of temperature, it's like probably better than nothing, but it's really not all that good.
Yeah.
The best thing is if someone's really honest about their travel history and what they've been doing, and there are people that are trying to improve the technology around questionnaires and really understanding someone's travel history prior to coming to the U.S., but that really does rely on someone's honesty.
Yeah, and folks just don't have their priorities straight. They land on your soil, and they just want to get to where they were going rather than get to a hospital before they die. So tell us about your breakthrough. What is it called, and how does it work?
So we make an instrument. We call it Maverick, and we've been working on this for about 7 years. It's a new technology that the diagnostic world has yet to see and which we're busy rolling out right now. And it's based on a little silicon chip. So we make a silicon chip that's not too distant from the chip that's in your pocket right now, I imagine, in your cell phone. And that allows us to do 15 tests simultaneously on a single drop of blood in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
That's quick.
And 15 tests. You don't need 15 tests to figure out Ebola, do you? Or is that the process?
Well, actually, that's the biggest problem. When you talk to people that are in the front lines in Africa, you have to remember that that's an area where there's a lot of endemic fever. There is malaria, typhoid fever, yellow fever, dengue fever, Marburg, several strains of Ebola, and I can go on and on and on. So when someone shows up to a malaria ward or an Ebola ward or something else and they've got a fever, chances that they have Ebola are still slim. It's just one of the multiple fevers they could have. So the problem is you give them an Ebola test and it comes up negative. Now what? Was it because it was too early and you couldn't detect it yet? Maybe you performed the test wrong, or maybe they've got one of these other diseases. You don't know. You have no idea what to do with that patient. You certainly can't send them home. So what doctors are screaming for, and every single person we've interviewed on the field in Africa or who has spent time there, they need a test that not only tests for Ebola, but it tests for everything else it could be, so that when someone comes in, you can triage them into the correct treatment. And the way this outbreak, one of the things that really fueled the outbreak was examples of someone with Ebola getting accidentally checked into a malaria ward, for example.
Great, and then everybody with malaria gets Ebola.
Exactly. They got cured of malaria, but then went home just in time to develop Ebola and really spread it.
We're speaking with Dr. Kerry Gunn. He's the CEO of Genolite, and talking about a new breakthrough. It's called Maverick, and in 10 minutes can basically tell you whether you have Ebola. How far has testing gone on Maverick? And we know that you're particularly concerned about West Africa, but is this on a fast track here in the United States with the FDA?
Absolutely. So Maverick is a commercial product, and we sell this to pharmaceutical companies to support drug development today for other applications. So the technology is commercial. It's mature. The test specifically for Ebola, we're fast-tracking through the FDA right now. So we are in contact with them. We do have our instrument brought up in government labs who have access to these. These are samples that you don't want to be handling in your average ordinary diagnostic lab. So we're bringing this test up in areas where we can do the validation on viral samples and hope that we're just a matter of a few months away from approval.
Yeah, but in some other countries, I mean, more or less, their regulatory agencies are, a guy on the corner and he hands you a paper sack with some money in it and
then you
give him the thing and everything's done. But then there's also the World Health Organization and all of that. So you say it's commercial. Is Maverick already being used anywhere in the world?
Well, it is being used inside the United States for developing of drugs. There's two issues about just selling it without FDA approval. First is that most of the customers who are actually spending the money to buy instrumentation today are the U.S. government. And before they're going to spend money, even if it's deployed in West Africa, they're going to want to see at least an emergency use approval from the FDA.
Yeah.
And two is there's the ethical concerns of, are we delivering something that we are confident is going to provide a life or death piece of information back to that doctor and to that patient?
Yeah. There's still the challenge. Diagnosis is a wonderful thing. A cure is another. Where do you think things are there?
Well, just like with diagnostics in this field, there are many different people who have been working, let's call it half-heartedly over a number of years, and that's primarily because funding has been very difficult to get. There's a number of people that have been working on vaccines and drugs for this type of disease, but because it's been in West Africa, because the outbreaks have come and gone relatively quickly, it hasn't really garnered the type of sustained funding that's required to develop the vaccines and therapeutics.
Yeah, so we're a ways away. So we could find out who's got it, but we just kind of have to hope that the treatment we have will keep people from dying, at least at the rate that they are in West Africa. It would just be awful if it were happening here, of course. It's awful if it happens anywhere, for that matter, because everybody has a family, and you hate to see your family die, of course. Dr. Kerry Gunn, you're with Genolite. Maverick is the product. The 10-minute Ebola test, where can people find out more about this if they want to read up on it?
Well, our website is www.genolite.com. And you can either Google or go straight to our website, and we've got lots of information there.
Very good. A pleasure to speak with you. You're doing great work, and keep it up.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, there you go. Do you feel a little better about the Ebola now?
Well, no, because it's not being used.
Well,
I mean, seriously, the FDA, the government, somebody needs to say, hey, look, There's technology that might help some people and might help safeguard the United States. You need to get on this. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're testing out a new, you know, tangerine, who cares? Fix this problem.
Yeah.
And this is a good, fast way to do so.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And the suits over there at the FDA need to get on this. Speaking of suits, have you seen this online yet? It's called the Suitsy.
The what now?
It's called the Suitsy. Do you know what that is?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what it is as soon as I get to the page. Here we go. A guy in San Francisco has created this, and it could change business meetings, weddings, funerals forever. The Suitsy is a onesie.
Oh, goodness.
That looks like a business suit but feels like you're wearing pajamas.
No.
Does it have feet?
You slip it on, you zip it up using a zipper hidden behind the fake buttons on the shirt. The cuffs are fake and adjustable, and the waist is adjustable, too. And based on photos that I've seen, it really does look like a wool suit instead of pajamas. You can even put on a real tie and pass it off as an actual suit.
I'm looking at photos, and they're it's layered. It's not like one. It's not like the tuxedo T-shirt.
Yeah, the Suitsy is on a crowdfunding site called Beta Brand right now. It'll cost you a little more than $300 for it. And I posted the marketing video for the thing. The guy standing there in a suit and two lovely ladies, you know, with cocktails.
Of course,
have the two lovely ladies. They unzip the onesie and he's got the red boxers on the whole deal.
Nice.
It actually doesn't look bad.
Right.
Yeah. I'm how about surprised. That? Looks comfy. Hey, you know what else? You're getting those glasses and those watches that are actually computers. Don't wear them at the theater. Our tech guy is next. Thanks for tuning in to PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. And now you can hold us in your hand.
What?
That's right. You can squeeze. And you could poke at us. And you could listen to Phil Hewlett and Friends wherever you are, because there's now a new Phil Hewlett and Friends app. It's in the Google Play Store. It's for Android only for now. I'm told by the Munchkins that in a week there will be an iPhone version of an app.
You are biased.
Android first. Well, because I needed to test it out.
Does Andrew know that? That you went Android first?
Anthony?
Andrew? Jeremy?
How about Jeremy?
There you go.
Sooner or later, I didn't know who you were talking about.
One of those guys, neither
going,
did I.
Keep going.
Sorry.
Does Jeremy know? Is that what you meant to say?
Yes.
Jeremy Antacuni?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. We'll have an app for you next week, a Phil Hewlett and Friends app.
I'm not going to download it anyways. I'll
what? You probably.
Okay, bye.
That's what I do, Phil. I'm insulted that you went somewhere else.
Oh, well, no. You would have made us an app?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm too busy for that.
I can't pay your kind of bucks. Come on.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You're a high-end app maker guy.
You get what you pay for.
Of course. But ours is a basic app. It's the purpose of it is so that you could listen to the program whenever you feel like.
Well, I can't wait to check it out. And I will
give you
my feedback when I do.
I'll let you know when the iPhone version is up. The web munchkins tell me it'll be about a week.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, but they work for me, so they did Android first. So this week, we have a couple of things about Verizon that'll make you scratch your head. And we're going to hold off on the story we headlined about these tech dweebs that are wearing the watches already, you know, the Dick Tracy watches. But let's start with Verizon. We're talking about privacy here and something called a perma cookie. Jeremy, what is that?
This is kind of dirty and certainly is raising some eyebrows across the web. So as it turns out, for the past 2 years now, Verizon has been tracking the websites that all of their mobile subscribers visit. And so as you make a request from your Verizon phone, you don't see it. There's nothing that is going to change for you in the actual interface. But behind the scenes, they're actually attaching a unique identifier that tracks you as a user and then sends that request to the website. The problem with that, of course, is that they are able to build a profile of all of the websites that you visit and essentially be able to get, you know, a really deep insight into the kind of person you are based on the websites that you're visiting.
Now, why would they want to do that? Purely for marketing reasons?
it's going to be, you know, solely for advertising. Obviously, the value of their subscribers is going to increase dramatically if they're able to say to advertisers, well, you know, Phil visits, you know, this kind of site, and then, you know, this user over here visits, you know, porn sites all the time, or whatever the sites that people are
may
visiting.
I follow the slippery slope for a moment, Jeremy, and
please.
And let's say I decide to run for U.S. Congress. And the folks in power, perhaps, are not of the same party that I am aligned with, and they don't want me to win, and it looks like I might win if they don't pull out some kind of surprise. Would they come along and knock on Verizon's door and say, we'd like to get a web profile of Mr. Hewlett?
A detailed profile of his history, please.
Get an idea of the types of websites he visits, because the voters need to know. The children need to know what kind of websites
right.
Mr. Hewlett is visiting.
Well,
is that a slippery slope worth following?
You know, I think it is. You know, but according to a Verizon spokeswoman named Deborah Lewis, she says that they are not using this ID to create customer profiles. I think that's probably baloney. There's also no way to turn it off, but you can go to their settings in your Verizon account settings and actually turn off and opt out of these types of targeted programs. I don't know that that they will actually stop, you know, creating this profile of you, but it will certainly prevent any of those targeted ads from taking place.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is, you know, a horribly slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know, they're building just a huge database of everything that you're doing. And, you know,
So those targeted ads are simply a head fake.
Yeah. I think so. You know, once they have this, you know, large, you know, database of activity, mm-hmm. they're able to draw all kinds of insights about, you know, who you are, what you do, your propensities to make, you know, certain product decisions.
Yeah.
There's a lot of data that can be mined using that database.
And it's only Verizon for now.
You know, that's the first one that's come to light. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if we found out that Sprint and T-Mobile and AT&T were doing something similar. But mm-hmm. the story broke and did reveal that Verizon's been doing this and actually have been doing it very quietly for the last 2 years. So this isn't something that just started.
So think about that when you surf porn on your phone in an airport bathroom.
Oh, gross, dude.
All right, so...
I haven't had that problem before, but, you know.
Depends when you wait too long.
Yeah. I'm just trying to put things in perspective for people. All right. Another thing, I mean, the technology is slowly taking off, and I don't know if the consumer is quite ready yet for wearables. And by wearables, we mean that these are little computers or smartphones, whatever, that you wear on your wrist or maybe in your glasses or who knows where else they're going to be, earrings someday, hats, rugs. But just the same... I imagine that if you wear something that you could disguise and turn it into a, I don't know, a bootlegging machine inside a theater, that the motion picture folks might be upset about that.
Yeah, they're actually saying that they're going to be cracking down on this stuff. Obviously, you know, they've got a huge, huge problem on their hands, or at least they view a huge problem on their hands with people that go into theaters, record a film, and then, you know, post it online for other people to watch without paying for. But they did post something earlier this week that said that they have a zero tolerance policy towards any recording device, and are, of course, alluding to the types of devices that are now becoming, you know, somewhat popular by some of the geeks out there, Google Glass. And of course, some of the new smartwatches that we're seeing that are starting to come out. But you know, I think that the MPAA has, you know, got a history of just, you know, overreacting. You know,
knee jerk.
I think that if they, you know, approach things a little bit differently and made content more easy to consume, that people are not going to be out there trying to steal the content. You know, people don't necessarily, you know, go out there and want to spend a bunch of time downloading movies and so forth if there's an easy way to do it and get it legally and reasonably. And so
embrace the technology and work together with the companies that make that technology, and everybody's happy. Make a little buck here and there.
Absolutely possible. Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
A new revenue stream. That's all that is.
It sure is. And so, you know, this is just, again, one of those knee-jerk reactions, I think, and they're just going to look silly for making this new policy out there.
Okay. Now, let's say I like writing stories about, I don't know, U.S. spying. You know, like the dude who's camped out in Moscow and can't come back. What's his name?
I think that's Snowden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Snowden. Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes to talk about how the United States spies on everybody. Let's say I want to start blogging about that sort of thing. Not only would the U.S. government be upset about that, but would, I don't know, Verizon be upset about that?
Yeah, we're kind of beating up on Verizon today, but they're doing some questionable stuff here. So they actually are launching a tech news website. And if you go to the website, it's sugarstring.com. You're not going to immediately be able to tell that this is a, you know, Verizon-sponsored site. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a very small Verizon logo at the bottom. But listen to this. Of course, you know, one of the biggest topics that we see on the internet, and certainly talked about on these tech news sites, is privacy and net neutrality and, you know, spying by the NSA and so forth. And they have basically come out and said, we're looking for people to join and start contributing as tech editors to this site, but we are going to ban topics of privacy as well as net neutrality, which is just, you know, facepalm. What are they thinking?
So you can't talk about the two biggest controversial topics out there.
No, and where would you imagine that Verizon sits on those things? Right squarely in the middle. Obviously, yeah. They're providing data to the NSA, and they obviously don't want to continue to have that bad association. And then they're one of the hugest supporters of trying to ditch net neutrality out there. They've spent, you know, millions of dollars lobbying to try to get the net neutrality stricken down. And, of course, it's such an important thing for the health of the internet going forward that, you know, the fact that they are just, you know, pretending like it doesn't need to exist is scary stuff.
It's about time all of you techie guys get together at a conference somewhere and create Internet 3, because I think Verizon already owns Internet 2, right? And return the internet to the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually, you know, starting to happen worldwide. I don't know if you saw that Brazil, when the NSA, you know, scandal broke, they said that they were going to disconnect from the U.S., created internet. And they've actually started to take steps of doing so. They've created their own email platform that is within Brazil. They've started to require social networking companies to host their servers within Brazil's borders. And they're actually just about to drag a new telecommunications line across the ocean to Portugal so that they can disconnect from routing their internet traffic through the United States.
Wow.
How about that? Well, see, it's bound to happen.
It is happening.
If you can build it, they will build it. Somebody will build it out of necessity. Once you get a taste of that freedom.
But I think the reality is that, you know, probably governments all around the world, you know, not just the United States, they're probably all looking in on the internet connections and you know, trying to spy on everybody else. So this certainly isn't something that's isolated to the U.S., but it certainly has been brought to the forefront by the revelations of Snowden.
All right, Jeremy, by this time next week, I promise, well, I can't speak for the net munchkins on our website, but I will do my best to have a Phil Hewlett and Friends app ready for your iPhone by next week.
Well, I'm going to dig an Android phone out of a drawer somewhere, and I'm going to go install it.
How nice of you to do that. Give us a nice rating while you're at it, too, will you, please?
You betcha.
Thank you. Yeah. Ratings are everything. All right, guys. Jeremy Anticone, thank you very much. He's our tech guy. We'll talk to him next week. And there you go. So how do you feel now? I feel like we're probably not getting Verizon as a sponsor anytime soon.
No, not at all. But it is kind of smart. Create your own PR machine and just let the internet have it.
Yeah,
it's the way to do it.
Yeah, you know what? If you were about to be robbed by two people, but you could only see one of them, but you have a pretty good idea where the other person is.
Fire at will.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I'm just kidding.
And it will all be revealed to you next, and you will hate Jay for wanting to shoot this poor lady. Oh. Next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right. By the way, in case you missed it, we have an app, and it's in the Google Play Store because it's for Android for now. So go download the app and listen to us whenever you like. Listen to us often. All the shows that you've missed, go back and listen to. The titles are there, and the descriptions of what was on the show. It's all there.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and tell your friends. And there's pictures of us. That you can stare at.
Are there pictures of Aaron?
Yeah. All right, so now we're going to go a little police blotter on you, and in this case, the police might have to blot up the lactation. Let's start with you, Aaron, because we have a caped robber to speak of.
Yes.
What's the story?
Well, she's a caped robber, and she's carrying a bundle of joy while she robs places, apparently. Atlanta police are looking for a woman who's very pregnant, and she wears a red cape. When she goes in and robs stores, they said she had a gun, and she recently robbed a Walgreens and took about $200 and then escaped in a Nissan Maxima.
With a sign on the back that says, accomplice on board.
Probably. Yeah, right. She's starting them young, this future baby, but very pregnant and wearing this cape, and they think she may have robbed as many as 4 different locations. So
it's disarming. She walks in, and they say, oh, wow, you're about to pop, aren't
you?
Cute. Yeah, I'm about to pop this in your head.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
A cute pregnant woman, yeah, with a cape. You're like, aw, boom, there you go. Yeah.
Is she dressing up for Halloween, or has this, like, been going on for a while? Do we know?
It's been this one of the cases is from October 6th.
So it is kind of October. Wow.
Yeah, but they are looking to see if she's been robbing multiple locations.
Mom of the year.
She definitely stands out.
Yeah, all right. But that's not all, Jay. We continue to the next item on the blotter, and this may actually require a mop.
Yeah, I think so. So police in Germany are looking for a mom.
Yeah.
What is up with these mommies?
Well, they're nuts. So I believe the hormones have kicked in a little extra oomph in a few of them. A woman walked into a convenience store in Germany and tried to buy a breast pump. The breast pump costs about $127. I didn't know that they were that expensive.
Well, they've got the cheapo kind, for, you know, like $10-$15. They've got those, but you know, ask the ladies what's better.
Those are the manual ones, right?
No, they've got the propane fire, you know, powered
propane.
Ones and
propane powered breast pumps.
The pull start ones.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know? All right. So,
oh my goodness.
She walked in. She puts the breast pump on the counter, and the guy goes, "Okay, $127, right?" Well, she pulls out her breasts.
Yeah.
I had to pick my word there.
Yeah.
She pulls them out, and obviously it's distracting.
Yeah.
And then she sprayed the clerk in her face with her breast milk.
Oh, no.
Multiple times, the story says. And then when the guy finally came to, he looked. The woman and the breast pump were gone.
That has probably never happened to anybody before.
Yeah.
That is
ingenious.
Yes.
I know, right?
Yes.
Hey, you want to see these? Yes, I do. And then,
right
in the eye. Yeah.
Well, what's the best way to disarm a guy, right? Ladies, flash him your breasts.
Your tatas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That will disarm a guy, at least temporarily.
I love this. They say the woman who walked in and sprayed her breast milk to the clerk had a robust figure.
Oh.
So I don't know
what
if she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Or has already had the
child. You're either, usually you lactate after you give birth. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you know a thing or two about this, Aaron?
I've never had any babies, so no.
Good.
I probably should, though, but no.
But there are stories about women who start lactating when they're around babies.
Sympathy lactation.
Really? Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. And then what's the whole deal with wet
Girls
nurses?
Girls are weird.
Right?
What's a wet nurse?
It's a wet nurse who breastfeeds your baby for you.
What in the hell? Somebody else breastfeeds your baby?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know where those nipples have been.
Weird.
Oh,
weird.
Boy.
People are weird. That is what's wrong with this
That's
country.
An old tradition, Jay.
Whatever.
That's old school
weird.
Stuff there. Here's more weird for you. And maybe you appreciate this what this lady's doing. She's in Kansas, and she was inspired by that petition we told you about that got Breaking Bad toys pulled from the shelves of Toys R Us.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
It was started, she started, this Kansas woman now, she started a petition of her own to get Babies R Us, same company, to drop the Kardashian kids clothing line.
You got to be kidding me.
Here's her, what she writes, quote, "I don't want my child to grow up to be a sex tape star. You pulled the Breaking Bad toys because they promoted drug use. You should pull this clothing line because it promotes bad behavior as well. The madness has to stop. If the toys are damaging, so is the clothing."
That's ridiculous.
As of last night, the petition has received over 1,800 signatures.
Oh, really? 1,800? Really?
Yeah.
That's
good
job.
That's not that many, though.
No.
No.
It's not.
I don't know how long it's been out, but...
This woman is walking into every store, picking something that she doesn't like, and then bitching about it. That's basically is what's happening.
You don't think she has a point?
No, because what did she say? She wrote, "I don't want my child to grow up to be a sex star." Well, then be a good parent.
Don't let your child grow up to be a... Yeah, don't buy the Kardashian clothing.
Don't buy the clothing. If you don't want to support it, you don't have to, but the store has a right to sell whatever they want.
I agree with you.
So back off.
That's how it works.
I'm going to go into a store and be like, "I don't like this," and just start a petition.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go into convenience stores and be like, "Listen, your rotisserie taquitos are gross. I am going to start a petition
to get rid of those.
To get rid of them."
Oh boy!
Hey, do we have
get signatures though?
Do we have some story to restore our faith in humankind, Jay?
I hope so.
To end the program with?
I think I found a good one. I may not agree with it, but I think it's a pretty good story. A off-duty California Highway Patrol officer, CHP cop, found a bag with $120,000 inside.
Ooh.
$120,000.
That's tempting.
Mm-hmm.
She returned it.
She?
It was a girl.
It was a girl.
Oh, that explains it.
Yes.
What?
That explains why it was returned. Okay.
Well, you saying men just would have take the money and run?
You guys would be in Vegas.
Wait a minute. Does the story say how long she stopped and thought about it before she returned it?
No. She found it on the roadside is what it says here. And then
on Saturday?
Yeah, whatever.
And returned it on Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was the bag full?
2 months later. 120 grand. If you found 120 grand, Aaron, what's the first thing that you would do? The first thing.
First thing? I'd be like, wow, I don't know. I would turn it in.
I would.
I'd count it.
Strip naked, spread it on the bed, and take a selfie.
Oh, goodness.
I won the lottery, Mo. That's so great.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd give back 120 grand. Are you going to sell your soul for
I found $50,000, everybody. Look how good
I
am.
Yeah, yeah. I'm returning 50 grand. That's a good one.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at FAFShow. Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett, wishing you a happy Halloween, and can't wait to talk with you next time when you're all bloated with candy, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.